following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
And thank you for tuning in for another episode of Corolla Classics. My name is Chris Loxamon, executive producer of The Adam Corolla Show, and with me, Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Back again.
Back again. Better than ever, I think. Corolla Classics, we're going to play the best of The Adam Corolla Show here. If you listen to The Adam Corolla Show during the holiday episodes, then you're going to know exactly what this show is all about. And please, we remind you to subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps, especially during the beginning stages of new shows, and we really appreciate it. And the feedback that we've been getting from everybody has been phenomenal, right, Gio?
Very encouraging to keep doing it. Yeah, and those early iTunes reviews, basically the first 500 to 1,000, they dictate your future as a podcast.
You hear that? You're dictating our future, everybody. It's in your hands.
You're pulling the strings.
That's right. Now, we have a lot of great clips this week, and we're just going to head right into it. The Oscars for this week, you check them out, Gio?
I actually did. I haven't watched them for a few years. I was a hardcore viewer like Brian my entire life, and then I stopped watching them half a decade ago, and I kind of intermittently check them out. I watched Kimmel. I watched him Kimmel again, and then I watched this year. Not that great.
And one bald Brian, our movie aficionado, very upset, as you heard this week on the show, about R. Lee Ermey being left out of the In Memoriam.
Huge omission. They always mess up. Brian was totally right to be outraged. It was a bizarre omission. Maybe it pertains to some of his past activities that he discusses in this clip. This was actually your choosing, but it definitely needed to be in this episode. It's 1581. This is from 2015. It's R. Lee Ermey, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. Adam wants to know how he got involved in Full Metal Jacket. He tells him the whole story, how he's about to give up on acting. Stanley Kubrick's involved, and his former professions.
Yeah, so R. Lee Ermey left out of the Oscar In Memoriam, but not here on Corolla Classics. Check it out, this clip from 2015.
And I was that drill instructor as well. So,
How long were you at DI?
I was just short of 30 months down at Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, Hollywood Marine, all the way.
And when did the whole thing with Full Metal Jacket, how did that even come about for you? I mean, you weren't taking groundlings classes at night or anything,
No, that was my fifth film was Full Metal Jacket. I was in the Philippines. I was the single guy. I got medically retired out of the Marine Corps, got hurt in Vietnam. And I decided, well, hell, I liked it in the Far East. I would go back to the Far East. You can live over there on this retirement, little small retirement check like a king. So I went back to the Far East, had a couple of bars, a whorehouse.
Which
was doing quite nicely. Yes, of course. I mean, it was quite acceptable. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I think we should promote that idea right here, and you'd have less rapes.
Your mouth, your mouth to Satan's ears.
But the thing is, by the way,
I do the math when you know a single guy living in the Philippines.
Whorehouse.
I did the math.
Oh, yes.
Way before whorehouse.
Well, anyway, I was in the Philippines, and I went to Okinawa, Japan. I was had bars there in my whorehouse, skivvy house.
How's your pimp hand today? Still strong?
What's that?
Your pimp hand?
My pimp hand?
You don't know what a pimp hand is?
No, I'm not.
Kind of a strong pimp hand.
Oh.
How many girls did you have?
I had maximum was six. At one time I had six. I was down as far as three because they keep getting married. You know, they meet some young PFC that falls madly in love with them. The next thing you damn whore's out there getting married, for Christ's sake. The attrition.
You need
just
a headhunter or a whore hunter.
We always had to sign out.
Sex executive recruiter.
You know, we were always looking for new talent.
So the bar was separate from the whorehouse.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Well, no.
But we could get a drink at the whorehouse, right?
Actually, I had four. The fourth one that I had, I built, I bought a hotel. And the girls came with the hotel, and the mama-san that I bought it from insisted that she wouldn't sell it to me unless I kept her ladies employed.
Good mama-san.
Absolutely. Look after the troops. That's what we do, right? So
chocolate chip pancakes all the way around.
Yeah, no man left behind.
Oh, by the way, on your yogurt thing, men would eat yogurt if they had such thing as bacon yogurt and Spam yogurt.
Good point.
Good banana and strawberry yogurt. Get out. That's girl stuff,
passion fruit, yeah. All right, so you got the whorehouses. You're doing the Philippines. I'm guessing easier to start a whorehouse in the Philippines than, let's just say, Malibu or an Encino or something like that, in terms of the permitting.
Terms of the permitting, it was there was very little required. Okay, we did have to have ASIN Association come in. They would send around the corpsman. Mm-hmm. Every couple of months, the corpsman would come around to my establishment and check the ladies out, make sure that they didn't have any destructive diseases of any sort. And my girls were always clean, so we never ever had a problem. We never got shut down. But a friend of mine, one of my customers came in.
By the way, if I was like 21 and living in Manila, I'd be the first piece of business, get a corpsman outfit.
Right.
This is going to be awesome. Yeah. Corman here.
Gynecologist, yes. You rank. But anyway, so a buddy of mine came, one of the customers came in one day, a young Marine corporal, and said, hey, they're getting ready to start shooting Vietnam War shows in the Philippine Islands. So I sold my everything that I owned in Okinawa, Japan, and I went down to Clark Air Force Base, jumped on Space A, and went over to the Philippines.
Well, what about the promise you made to Mama-san?
I turned the whorehouse over to a very reliable source. Good guy.
That's all you need to know.
Another retired Marine.
Okay, so he kept them employed.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And when they weren't real busy and when time for slack, he would use the product. You know,
sure.
I mean, come on.
You got to keep it fresh. It's like playing pepper.
All right, so you realize they're doing all these Vietnam movies. Like, which ones?
I did Boys and Company C, Purple Heart, Siege of Firebase, Gloria, Apocalypse Now. By the way, Full Metal Jacket was film number 5.
All right, so they're needing real Marines or the people who are. What are they needing? Why do they need you?
Well, I would sign on as technical advisor because I had Vietnam experience, and so I'm a retired Marine, so I would go on board as technical advisor with all these Vietnam War shows, and I would always be asked to do a role. The director would always ask me, well, could you do this role?
Right.
Sure, hell yeah, I can do that role, no problem. So I did 5 films and I as technical advisor, but I was acting in all 5 of them. So I finally got to thinking, you know, there's really no damn money in technical advice. So the guy that makes the money is the guy that's standing in front of the camera over there. So we made that transition, but Kubrick, I had almost quit the business when Stanley Kubrick called up with Full Metal Jacket.
That was 87.
That was 85.
And, when he called you.
Yeah, we released the film in 87. We started filming in 85.
I got a film before the release.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know you know a lot about the film after it's released.
Anyway,
Stanley called me up and asked me if I would consider being his technical advisor. And I had read the novel The Short Timers by Gustav Hasford several times. And I accepted the job as technical advisor simply so I could get my foot in the door because I had my eyes on the role of Gunnery Sergeant Hartman. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, there was no one in this world, in God's green earth, that could do that job any better than I could.
So I
wrote everything I said in the show.
And we're back. More Corolla Classics for you. Chris and Gio here. This next one. I know this is going to seem a little morose that we're playing 2 guests that are no longer with us, but we have to. I mean, they came into the show and they made an impact, and this one is no different. As I'm sure you've all heard, and when Brad Williams came in, he did a really nice tribute to one Brody Stevens, or Stephen Brody Stevens, as everyone knows him as. What can you tell us about this clip, Gio?
Yeah, Brad Williams' episode this week with his on-air eulogy of sorts was really touching. So this is a highlight from 1239 from 2014. Stephen Brody Stevens, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. Stephen Brody Stevens, or Brody Stevens, is making his second appearance on the show. In the clip I chose, he actually discusses his first visit, which was a guest-hosted episode very early on in the Adam Carolla Show, an episode Adam's never even heard, and Brody essentially was booked as a guest host before ever being a guest, which most of the guests guest hosts were, and they brought people on who'd never been on the show before, and some of those people never returned. And instead of playing the guest host episode first, I thought we should play this, where he tells the whole story and his experience. It's one of the most in-depth Brody Stevens interviews I've ever heard, and it's real. It's interesting.
Yeah. Now, he's a staple in the Hollywood comedy community.
Always beloved by everyone, yeah, at every club.
To be honest, out of anybody who's ever passed, I've never seen such outpouring support and love than I have for Brody Stevens. So, this is really cool. And when Brad Williams came on, before a guest comes on, I'll usually talk to him for a little bit, let him know some of the possible subjects that could come up on the show, just so they get their minds spinning a little bit. I did not tell Brad that we were going to bring up Brody Stevens. So, what you heard on the show was just completely true. He had no idea he was even going to talk about it, and he still just had such great stories. And it was really emotional. It was really pure, and I loved that. So, we want to share some Brody Stevens with all of you. So please enjoy this clip from 2014.
The Adam Carolla Show honors journalistic excellence with another great moment in local news.
Bieber was not arrested, but Smith, also known as Lil Za, was rebooked at the jailhouse just before his release tonight because he smashed a cell phone. Oh, well, we're going to talk about some
windy weather right now. I guess we could, yeah.
We will in a minute.
Yeah, Jackie's here right now. Or we could talk about this, a very dire traffic warning about the upcoming shutdown of the stretch of the 405. It's being called Jamzilla.
There will be music to Jamzilla,
there
don't you think?
Something on YouTube, yeah. You're probably right.
The spirit of Murrow and Cronkite live on. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I love all the nervous laughter. There was none of that going on when I did Loveline, by the way. I miss that. Brody Stevens in studio.
Taking off my jacket.
Brody, known for quite some time. I think I saw him last when I did The Burn, as I said. Jeff Ross's show, which I'm guessing isn't coming back because...
It's still not officially gone, and I don't want to... I have sources.
Oh, you do?
So, yeah.
Brody, by the way, is doing a documentary series following Brody alongside...
So you want to know what his sources say?
Zach Galifianakis. Well, they say it's not officially gone.
Exactly.
But they're not saying it's on or off. Could come back. I thought it was fun, and I feel like people enjoyed it, but who the hell knows?
You crushed it, I remember. Man. You did really well on there.
Thank you. I got a little nervous when I realized that everyone else wrote jokes in advance, and I didn't have any jokes. Normally, I'm all right winging it, but this was sort of joke-specific for the topics, but ended up being...
You were crushing somebody in who? Do you remember who you did it with?
Michael Ian Black.
And Sherrod Small.
Ooh.
I think. Because I remember I saw you, yeah, and I was like blown away by how good you were.
You crushed it, Adam.
Well, thanks. I remember thinking, that's Jeff. We'll go up there and wing it. And then I saw everyone with all their jokes and all the stuff, and it got kind of specific with the jokes. And then I realized, this is kind of like a roast. And I always say a
That's
roast.
The name.
Yeah, a roast, a little different beast in that you do need to have jokes lined up for a roast. It's not the normal wing it kind of mode that a lot of people are in.
You can wing it on a roast.
You can. I've seen guys do it, but it doesn't always turn out that good for them.
I don't roast very often. I did The Burn, and I had my jokes, and I was able to go beyond them a little bit. But I recently did a roast for The Iron Sheik. It was up in Toronto. It was a couple months back.
Sure.
And I was nervous about roasting, but I had a few jokes ready, but I was just went in there because it wasn't on TV or anything, so I didn't have that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys all had jokes, they ripped, and then the guy on before me tanked and was uncomfortable, and then I just went up. So I've done tons of warm up, I've been in those situations, and I just winged it. I just went down the line, boom, boom, Gilbert Godfrey, boom. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. I attacked the other guy, went after the crowd. So I brought energy there. And so I lucked out.
Saw you hosting TMZ.
Oh, yeah.
They love you over there.
Not anymore.
What happened?
Well, because that was when I was going manic, kind of. You know, I hosted. I was off. That was like I was on a bender when I hosted that show.
What kind of bender?
Well, I was off. I was off my meds. That was part of my problem. I had come back from Montreal. That's when I kind of started adjusting my meds. I got sick. That was kind of what I put into that HBO Comedy Central show. But when I did TMZ, I was at the height of my mania, and that's mm-hmm. what got me going. I did well on it. I started getting positive feedback, and Harvey Levin liked me, 818 Jewish. I created a TMZ sports department. I was doing all this crazy stuff. And then somebody said, oh, Harvey Levin thinks what you're doing is an act. It's fake. And then I said, fuck you, Harvey Levin. I said that on my Twitter, and then it freaked them out. The whole TMZ people were freaked out, and I haven't been on since. And I know the camera guys will tape me, but they never put me on, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, I've seen
with all they say about celebrities, all you have to say is fuck you, Harvey Levin, and they lose their shit.
I did it. They were freaked out.
Wow.
They hired extra security because I was fucking pissed. I was manic, but I wasn't going to hurt anybody.
I've seen you interviewed out in front of the Melrose Improv and places like that.
It's fun to do.
I can think of, by the way, from In Living Color, I'll narrow it down, the black guy from In Living Color.
Oh, him.
Also known for the Pizzone commercials on like Pizza Hut. Oh, boy. Now we got to get the cast laid out. It's not anybody, the least known of the brothers, the little guy, the comedian. You'll know who he is.
You want me to say who?
Yeah.
Is it Marlon Wayans?
No.
Is it a Wayans?
No.
It's not a Wayans.
Not a Wayans.
You got thrown off because you said brothers, thinking you meant the Wayans brothers.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you meant Wayans brothers.
So you know this guy. You know the guy right now.
No, I'm trying. His name is
not
escaping me. Yeah, Tommy Davidson.
Oh, it is. Oh
okay. I would have gotten that.
Yeah, well, that's...
Good guess, Brian.
Yeah, I didn't think he was unknown enough, but apparently...
Well, no, he was out of that group.
Of the original cast. Yeah, it's a good point.
We know the rest. Well, you're either... I mean, to me... You're either Wayne's brother, or you're David Alan Greer, or you're Jim Carrey, or you're that's what that left Tommy Davidson to me. But I saw Tommy Davidson when we did I sat next to him on the flight home, actually, when we did the Hugh Hefner roast in New York a million years ago. And I saw a guy basically wing it, which was Tommy. And then when the thing aired, we got a picture of the Wayne's brothers, but yeah. Tommy Davidson would be a better picture to have. When they aired the actual roast on Comedy Central, he was not included.
Oh.
Which everybody gets their shit knocked down from 17 minutes to 3 minutes, and you hope they leave in your cool jokes, and maybe you do 12 minutes and they knock you down to $1.50 or something like that. But to be completely snipped, not a good sign.
What was the reaction at the time like, or in the room like?
Mass hysteria.
Was it because he went off the cuff and it wasn't funny, or he went off the cuff and it just wasn't usable?
I don't think there was a lot there that they could use in the comedy department. I think that's my recollection of it. And I remember thinking at the time, as big a pain in the ass as it is, load up a handful of jokes before you go up there. Now, the burn is different because there's a group of people up there and it's back and forth and it's a little more give and take. And thus, you're not just standing there alone at a podium, which will burn you. Galifianakis. So the documentary, by the way, first season just finished up on Comedy Central. Brody Stevens. Enjoy it. Zach, I feel like I know him a little bit, but I don't feel like I know him that well. I just feel like he gives you a character or something sometimes a little bit, but you must.
He's a little. I would say he's a little aloof, if that in real life, maybe with people.
Right. Yeah, not necessarily in a negative way, but just sort of, pushes a character out there for you to enjoy. But you don't feel like I don't feel like I know exactly who he is.
Now, are you saying based off the performances in the movies or in the TV shows or in real life, like at a party?
Small interactions I've had with him,
Okay, well, he's...
But he seems like a good guy.
He's a very good guy.
Smart guy.
Super smart. I mean, look, he puts up with me. He is open enough to allow me to be who I am, which is a blue-collar Jewish guy from the Valley. Mm-hmm. The complete opposite.
Jew collar.
Jew collar. So Zach is a great guy, but I think at first it might take a few times to get through that guard.
And what happened when you hosted for me on this show? I've never heard the episode. All I just heard is that there were some Twitter wars, people are outraged. And that was about as far as I got with it. I think it was about, well, geez, it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I was shooting a sitcom, and that's about all I remember. What is your recollection of it, or your side of the story?
Okay. My side of the story. I do remember it. I was booked to do the show. Mike August said, you want to come in and do the show? So I thought I was going to be a guest on mm-hmm. Adam's show, or there's going to be another guest host, and I was going to be a guest. So I get here.
October 2010, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2010.
A month before we met.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So I get here, and then I hear that I find out that I'm going to host the show.
When you arrive, upon arrival.
Right.
Well, now.
So I believe so.
Okay.
So I get there, and this is the early stages of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because was I playing to the camera? Was I playing to the... I was being Brody right off out of the gate. Mm-hmm. I learned from that podcast and a couple other podcasts after that you just got to talk and be chill and mellow. And I was performing, putting that energy out. Yes, you got it. If you know me, it's funny for the most, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And you're into it, I know. But if you don't know me, you're not going to like it. And you're going to be, I got a lot of negative feedback, hurtful, attacking.
What, and as somebody who was on medication at the time?
This was before
needed to be on
TMZ.
Medication?
No.
No, but what
I was on Lexapro when I hosted your show.
What I'm saying is somebody who, I'm sorry, but precariously perched popped in my mind, but it's somebody who's sensitive, emotional.
I am.
Then all these rocks and arrows being slung your way from my fans had to hurt.
It hurt,
and you took it personally,
of course,
and got into it with some of the people. Or,
well, I mean, I'm a baseball player. Mm-hmm. If you dig in on me, I'm gonna freaking
throw it at your head.
I'm gonna fucking throw a fastball, knock you down, then throw a curveball, make you look bad. Then fucking throw a fastball and blow your ass away.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. I could pitch angry and do well. Uh-huh. I can't do comedy angry. I can't podcast angry. Uh-huh. But I can pitch angry.
Interesting.
So a guy's going to dig in on me? Some fat fuck?
Uh-huh.
I'll fucking blow your ass away. That's how I pitched, Adam.
That's how you pitch. But now we're talking about Twitter wars or whatever
Okay. And that's what I'm adjusting with. I've gotten a lot better because there's no need for me to do it anymore.
As a comedian, there's just going to be X amount of that kind of stuff coming your way. Even the great ones, the Zach Galifianakis guy.
They didn't have to
feel that and hear that. And get it from sometimes critics, just anonymous people on Twitter, whatever. The haters, as they say.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
So, as you know, as somebody who chose this for a profession, to sort of engage, I don't know, in a weird way, being a comedian is sort of like being a cop on a horse after, you know, a Detroit, you know, Pistons victory or loss. Like you kind of have to just like move it along. If you're going to engage everybody who's going by you, you're going to have to get off the horse and you're going to be rolling around on the street a lot. It's kind of moving on. Now, once in a while, some guy's going to fucking throw a rock at you or something. You really have to go after him. But by and large, there's going to be a lot of people running around, flipping you off, giving you BAs, calling you an asshole. And all you have to do is go, you're up on your horse. Like move it along.
Well, I wasn't that confident at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, first of all, about comedy, I kind of backed into it. People said I was funny. So I said, okay, I'll try it. I took baseball as far as I could go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried acting, I guess, and then it turned into comedy. So it wasn't something that growing up, I'm going to be a comedian. I'm the next Andrew Dice Clay, the next. It was never that. So I guess I was funny. And so when people take shots at me, it did hurt. And then I had to learn to deal with it. You know, I had to learn to be professional. You know, I've done 2,500 television audience warmups. There have been some times where I'm dealing with bottom of the barrel paid audience members, Adam.
Yeah.
I figured out how to do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes on Twitter, which wasn't around. Richard Pryor never had to deal with Twitter.
No, Facebook. Now how's it going with the mental health, the meds, and that kind of stuff?
Okay. I feel a lot better. I'm on a solid med program. I am detoxing from Klonopin. I mean, I was put through the ringer. The way I was acting, I had to be put on something.
Right. So what do you got going now?
Well, right now I'm on Lamictal. Dr. Drew said, that's my safety net.
Really?
Yeah. He said, and so to my doctor, they said, as long as it's a mood stabilizer. That is basically, I won't go too high, I won't go too low. It's a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Lexapro. I'm not on it.
Is it for manic depression?
It's for, because I fucked up. I had a manic episode. However it happened, I feel I went off my meds cold turkey. It was just a perfect storm. Went off my meds. I was in Montreal. I was on an antibiotic because I got sick. I hosted TMZ. I had this HBO thing. I was just revved up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just revved up, and that's what happened. So,
what was, like, the final straw that made it so that people had to take action?
I was saying crazy stuff on Twitter. I mentioned a gun. I was, you know, saying, I said, fuck you, Adam Carolla. Because I was upset about what happened.
I don't mind.
When I hosted.
I'm a cop on the horse. Keep moving. Enjoy your victory.
So, I mean, I went after people, but it was just, that's what was going on. But when I said gun, which I never had, and I said that so people would, like, leave me alone. I got a gun back, which I never did. And then that's when they kind of took action, and I got thrown into the UCLA hospital. Yeah, and then I was there for – I was basically at a – I was on a bender. It was crazy. So that's when they put me on all those drugs, Seroquel, Depakote. They have to. It's just
right. Now,
to
now,
knock you down.
Will you be on these drugs for the foreseeable future?
No.
We be on any drugs for the foreseeable future?
I mean, my goal is to not be on meds. Mm-hmm. I'm on basically one med right now. I take Lamictal, that mood stabilizer. Mm-hmm. I am on Klonopin. I take very little, and I'm detoxing from it. It's hard. My palms are sweating. I am a little – I can get worked up a little bit because I don't have that – my body has to – physically wants it, and then I also have to get adjusted to – not having that buffer there. And then the other thing I factor in, I'm older, I'm wiser, I'm going to do the yoga, the therapy, talking.
Sure.
I have also to pop a pill and go, I want more pills? No, I'm actually
getting
down.
I wonder what performers, but especially comedians, it'd be easy to sit down with Dr. Drew and see all the greats, the Lenny Bruces and aforementioned Richard Pryors and guys like that, and go, who would be on what if they're around today?
Something.
To feel like everybody but maybe Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, or maybe Ollie would be on Lexapro or something like that. Oh, it's an old puppet show. The point is definitely everyone would be on something, I'm assuming, but with the exception of maybe Bob Hope, which is but his writers would all be on something. I just feel like I know Richard Pryor would be on something, and maybe these guys self-medicated with booze and cocaine and what have you, heroin.
They self-medicated, smoked pot. I think a lot of comedians today, I think a lot of them smoke pot.
A lot of them smoke
pot. I do a joke,
pot.
80% of all comedians smoke pot. The other 20%, they're not funny. It's a big joke I do.
I would say they eat the pot.
They eat it. It's probably healthier. Vaporize.
Yeah.
I would say there's a handful, a fair amount of, I don't want to say who, guys who take antidepressants. I talk, so it is out there.
Are you interested in, you know, I always say whenever they do these school shooting stories or these rampage stories or whatever this is, whatever goes on, crackpot number 7 goes into supermarket and shoots God knows who. And it's always we engage in this gun talk, and it's always this stupid thing of, well, did it have a clip that held 9 or 12? Mm-hmm. And then where do they get these guns and how do they get? And it's like, there's guns everywhere all the time. Let's talk about mental health.
Okay.
Can we talk about that? I just want there to be more, I've always wanted there to be more of a dialogue about mental health. It's always about the kid and how come no one on the campus knew and how come his parents didn't know and how did he get the gun. But that's all fine. But let's all focus on the bigger picture here, which is the mental health. Unfortunately, because there's as many guns as there are Americans floating around, that's going to be a tough bell to unring and a tough horse to get back in the barn. But the mental health part, it's stigmatized. It's rarely discussed. I mean, it's discussed, but not the way it should be.
Yeah.
And there's certainly not too many comedians who discuss it. Brody, that could be you.
Well, I am. I've taken the torch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't. I never thought I would go public with everything. I went on Twitter. I was already out there. So when I was in the hospital, when I thought about this HBO show, I shot the pilot. That's all we had done. So mm-hmm. they ordered the show based off the pilot. So I was just had another thing, just revving up, ready to go.
By the way, don't put the "I have a gun and I shot the pilot" in the same Twitter. The same tweet, because okay, with okay. the short amount of characters and yeah. the way people read these days,
you'll end up on a list.
You could have to have okay. a lot of feds like rappelling down from helicopters.
So I went public on Twitter because I was on a bender, craziness, and then I was in the hospital and I said, why don't I? Because I was getting people were into it, and then I just felt like maybe I'll do a show talking about getting out of the hospital and getting back on TV. I still had to do a show, but that's where my mind was. And then I said, it was kind of weird talking about it, like the first time, like what are people going to think about me? But then just more and more you hear people being more open. I've heard people talk about medications. I don't know what the stigma is, but we talk about mental health. I feel we got to really utilize these other things: yoga, therapy, podcasting. Let's not just pop a pill. And these kids are soft. I played sports. You know, sometimes you got to be tough.
Listen. I tell everybody: put on some classical music, put your headphones on, and start going on for go for long walks. And then mm-hmm. if at the end of that you're depressed or you don't feel like you have any energy or you feel like the world's coming down on you, then go see your doctor. But first, drop 30 pounds, wake up every morning, do 50 push-ups, and go for a run. And then tell me at the end of the day. You know, the thing that's weird is I started to sort of notice it. All the guys I work construction with, there's two things they don't really seem to possess. A lot of them are just hardworking Latino guys, but some pale faces in there as well. And I'd say brothers, but I've never worked with a black guy or I don't think a Jew for that matter either.
I'm not
one of those Los Angeles things. But either way, these guys, their mood is always stable. Mm-hmm. Like they do physical work all day, and they're always in the same mood. Every morning, you see him, it's like, hey, boss, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Good. It's never like, oh, man, oh, don't get me started. Oh, man. Like, first off, they don't have these sort of ups and downs. Second thing they don't have is food allergies. Nobody's lactose intolerant. No one can handle, you know, dairy or no one can glucose or gluten or whatever. No, they're not big thinkers. They're more just like happy dogs who just kind of go about their day. And, you go on a lunch run for these guys and buy In-N-Out for all of them, and they're happy as a fucking clam.
You.
They're friendly and they're easy. You say to them, you know, what's going on this weekend? They're going like, yeah, we're going to have a couple cervezas, and I'm going to play soccer with my son on Saturday. I coach the team. And it's never like, oh, man, you know, what's going on in the Middle East? And they're never bummed out, or they never thought. It's just not a lot of talk about their old lady or themselves or their dad or their parents, or they're so upset over their parents that they can't get over the anger, like whatever it is. They just work all day.
Because they're working.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they're tired. And I just feel like us sitting in a cubicle and staring at a computer screen reading shit about ourselves.
Terrible.
It's not what we were physically meant to do. We were sort of physically meant for the sun to come up, the birds to start chirping, somebody to go off, wake up. You know, you hear those bird chirps. You hear that fucking leaf blower. You realize it's time to get up. And then you go out and you till some soil. You put some thatch roof on or something. You get tired. You come home and you're like hungry and you got a little sunburn on the back of your neck. And that's about all you've been thinking about is how to get that roof done the entire day. And I like progression and I like all the artists and I like all the thinking and all that. But I always think we're turning on ourselves.
I honestly think someone saying something shitty to you in person is easier to deal with than someone saying something shitty about you on the internet, because our brains can't process what it means to read something shitty about yourself on the internet, and suddenly you think it's like it represents a lot more people.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to say I hate social media and I hate the internet. Honestly, I don't read, I don't Google my name. It's not healthy. It's not, it doesn't, it gets my blood boiling. So that's not good. So I learned that. I learned that that could be a trigger point for me. And also, Comedy Central, they follow me. I can't get in a Twitter war. Doug Herzog follows me. So I'm saying F you to some kid in a shack in Iowa. It's bad. I know it looks bad. So I just have to bite my, because, and it, you know what? It is bad. There's nothing good about it. Once in a while, I'll slap somebody, rarely. But before, I used to get heated, blood going, and I'd go, that's terrible. But again, that wasn't around 10 years ago. Facebook wasn't around. And that's another reason why I started, I think when I came back to Los Angeles, because I lived in New York, I wasn't on any kind of antidepressant. And I came back here, and then, you know, Facebook came out, MySpace, emails going strong, and it's like, and I'm a comedian. I mean, that's what I was doing. I got to write jokes. I got to book gigs. I got to work. I got to also exercise. I've got to do these things. And now you got this social media stuff. And, you know, I want to start reading a book. That's why I'm so relieved now. I love leaving my phone in the car. Give me a book and a notepad.
Yeah, everybody should either have a kid or rent one that they can just go outside and fucking throw a ball around with. It's just, you need it.
You All do. Right.
All right, back with more clips for you. This next one featuring a guest who has not passed, but one of our favorites that come in, a comedy genius, Patton Oswalt.
From Adam Carolla Show 1482, this is from January 2015. It's with Gina Grad and Bald Brian. It's Gina's first episode, before she'd even really confirmed had the job. And Patton comes in the studio, and he tells them an anecdote about the 2008 election and why he knew Obama would win. And that translates into him talking about hosting an award show, the Independent Spirit Awards. And there's a really funny back and forth between him and the gang. And it was a really nice clip that a lot of people don't ever mention, and I wanted to include it.
I love this. Patton Oswalt.
Oh my God, Adam. Okay, one of the reasons that as a comedian, let's go back to the 2008 election. You know, I knew as a comedian when Obama was going to win and McCain was going to lose during that Albert Smith dinner where the two presidential nominees go up and they kind of do a comedy routine.
Right.
You remember that night?
Yes.
If you watch it on YouTube, Obama goes up. He's fine. He's a little stiff because he still has something to lose.
Right.
McCain went up and annihilated. He was loose. He was fucking with everybody up on the dais. He didn't give a shit. And as a comedian, I was like, oh, he knows. Someone has shown him the numbers.
Right.
And he can just relax. And then later that week, he went on SNL and destroyed.
Right.
He's like, I'm done. I can just.
Right.
So I've had nights like one of the best sets I ever had. I remember this very specifically was. It was at the Punchline in San Francisco. We're all auditioning for Star Search. It's back in the early 90s. And I was told before the show, the producers don't like you. They're not going to be filming you. You're not getting Star Search tonight.
Right.
And I went up and had one of the – because I'm like, I'm the one guy here that has – I can't screw up. Everyone else, they're all really good. You could see them. They're double, triple, quadruple thinking everything. Like, how do I get this perfect?
Right.
So you're right. A Thursday night in Addison – where the room is half filled, you'll actually see a much closer version of that comedian than if they're at Carnegie Hall. Because, yeah, it's historical for you.
It is the version. I think there's a actual same night version of that, which is if you ever host a decent size award show.
Yes.
You have to. You know you're going to open with like a 16-minute monologue or a 14-minute monologue. Maybe it'll be 28 minutes and they'll whack it down to 9 minutes, or maybe it'll be a tight 9 minutes. But either way, you're going to open with this big chunk.
Yeah.
Then you got some sort of bit that you're going to do after that. But the show's 90 minutes, maybe it's 2 hours. There's that feeling when you're standing backstage where you've walked back and forth, you've been on stage 11 times now, where there's still 20 minutes more of the show to go, but you think to yourself, it's all the heavy lifting's behind me now.
I'm now done.
I can have a Heineken backstage. I can walk out.
I can walk out with a drink.
Like,
how you guys doing?
The part that I was focusing on, the tough part, is behind me now.
When I hosted the Independent Spirit Awards, I talked to a couple of ex-hosts.
Right.
Talked to Andy Samberg, talked to Seth Rogen, and they said, "All your job is 10 minutes. That's the opening. That's all you got to focus on. And if you get that done, and also no one will listen to you. They're all making deals. Just act like you're killing. They'll cut it to make you look good. And then once that's over, you can just kick back, drink your scotch, have a great night."
Yes.
And that's all it was. It was 10 minutes of terror of Brad Pitt and Angelina kind of looking up at me like, who let this guy, who is he? Is this like a stagehand?
We're not the same species, are we? There's no way we come from the same planet.
Is this like a make-a-wish bucket list thing? I don't know who this guy is. And then once that's done, then you can just come, hey, all right, next guy coming up. Here we go.
Yeah, they should tell you, because I did like the Blockbuster Music Awards or something at whatever. They should tell you, look down, prepare to see Mike Tyson bored.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it may throw your game
forget
off.
Forget seeing Mike Tyson bored. I saw Brad Pitt get up during my set to go talk to a friend at another table.
Sure.
And I'm just going to go say hi. And I don't blame him. I think he was like over talking to Bruce Dern or something. I'd way rather talk to Bruce Dern than listen to myself. I'd go talk to him.
And there was no heckling of any kind?
No. Heckling would have meant they were paying attention.
They were tuned in. You have to follow along.
How many? Can we get any more breadsticks on this table?
Yeah.
Because
There's an ultimate heckling, which is, did you valet the car, or should I should have the guy? I'm going to go talk to the guy.
It's kind of loud in this dining room.
Yeah.
You want breadsticks? I can get them when I come back.
Hold on.
I'm
going
to talk to the guy.
See, that's the worst kind of heckling. If they're yelling at you, it means,
they're engaged.
They're engaged. But yeah, if they're going, they said 5 mozzarella sticks in a basket, and there's 4, and there's like a little, it looks like a third of one. I think what happened, they could care less.
Charlize Theron is put on weight for a part, sweetie. She isn't just put on weight. Charlize Theron is not just put on weight. The troll's talking again. Anyway, you don't just put on weight. She does it for a role. She wouldn't be with Sean Penn if she just put weight on.
Somebody answer the troll's 3 magic questions so he'll stop talking.
Watch the clips.
My friend did a one-nighter one night. This is out in like Montecito, California. He said that at the beginning of the show, you're talking about a nightmare gig. At the beginning of the show, they went, you're going to open the show, and then announce at the end of the show, we're going to draw. There's cards on the table. If they fill their names out, we're going to draw a card, and we're going to give away a free T-shirt for this bar that the gig was in. He goes, okay, folks, and thanks for coming out. By the way, fill out your cards. We're giving away a free T-shirt. And the room exploded. People, I didn't get a card to fill. And for not only his, the entire show, all they did was argue about, do we just fill out one card per person, or is it a card for a table? Can I fill out more? Because, the lady at that table, I saw her fill out 3 cards. So that means, and they never once shut up. And at one point, I think the feature act had to go up and go, it's a T-shirt, people. It's literally a T-shirt.
The things.
And they never shut up.
The difference between a T-shirt and winning a T-shirt is the difference between the aforementioned Rolls Royce and a Camry for people. All you have to do is go to a Lakers or Clippers game and watch them fire that
the
T-shirt cannon and people will knock over an $11 beer and crush a small child to get to the $4 worth of Hanes with the Lakers logo that they probably already have 3 of.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there's just something about it. Speaking of disrespect, somebody tweeted me something. You guys tell me how you would tell
wait,
me.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Yes. So
are you saying somebody sent you something disrespectful on Twitter?
That's weird, right?
So you're
wait,
the one.
Wait, is this? What's going on, Adam?
Well,
are you making this up? This better not be a prank.
People are generally kind, but what they do with me is they go, I thought you should be aware of this.
Oh, dear.
And then they show me a picture with me in a dunce cap with my thumb up my ass crying. And I go, I don't remember taking that. Well, I thought you should know.
It's that third-party trolling.
Right. Like, I thought you should know about this. So
yeah.
I don't seek it out, but I get the, I thought you should know. Somebody went and looked on Hulu or one of those places, and they found The Man Show was on. And I said, all right, because people say to me all the time, when is The Man Show coming on whatever new technology is invented?
Is it,
and
is it on Hulu or is it?
I didn't know. I never check. I would never check. I don't know. But somebody said, I think it's on Hulu. And I said, oh, okay. And then they sent me the screenshot of it. Mm-hmm. And it was a picture of Jimmy Kimmel. I'll show it to you.
It is on Hulu.
It is Jimmy Kimmel toasting me. Except for I've been cropped out of the picture.
Oh, wow.
There's now the picture is Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla, except for they cropped Adam Carolla out. It says starring Jimmy Kimmel, and then underneath it, my name is misspelled.
Yeah,
it's just the one man show.
What is that?
Not the men show.
Mm-mm.
I thought to myself, now here's the thing that was funny.
It's a little Stalin-esque.
Here's the thing that I found interesting about the whole thing. It's 1:30 in the afternoon. I'm still in my bathrobe, but it doesn't stop me from going for beer to take the edge off. I'm sitting at my house looking at this, and I said, you know what? I got to get a hold of Jimmy. Jimmy's going to get a kick out of this. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, wait a minute. He's in Cancun right now with Jennifer Aniston on Christmas vacation. And then I thought, maybe they're right. Like, I think they have a point. He's with Jennifer Aniston right now. I'm with my kids in Glendale. I think maybe it's hard to say. It's hard to argue with their logic when I'm going to try to get hold of Jimmy and he's hanging with Jennifer Aniston on some white beach in a private infinity pool right now.
Exactly.
So maybe they have a point. But
the jury's still out, but they're licking the envelope.
To me, the misspelling of the last name, I think, was the part. And the part where it's cropped out where he's toasting nobody. He's supposed to be toasting me in the next chair.
Yeah, it for sure doesn't look like he's toasting the camera. He's doing a full-body reach over.
That is a weird thing to crop, though. There's hundreds of other pictures of him they could have just put in there. But it was almost like, we got to let Adam know. Like, he's got a little gut punch for Adam. He's got to know that he's being... Although, the only way they could have made it worse is if they had just left a sliver of your beer glass.
They needed a sliver of my mug.
Literally, or just your hand, or something. Like, just to let you know. Oh, no, we know.
Yeah, we know you're
we
in
know,
there.
We know, yeah. We're just cutting you out.
Starring Jimmy Kimmel.
You were on that show.
I'm not a litigious person, but this crosses some sort of line, doesn't it? We created the show together. We're in. It's not like I took a few episodes off. That picture had me in it. It just got cropped out, and then they misspelled my name at the bottom.
I do love Hulu, though. The other night I was watching Up in Smoke with starring Tommy Chong.
Sure.
Yeah, it was Up in Smoke starring Tommy Chong.
Without Cheech?
And it was and Cheech Moron.
Right.
And that was all starring
Adam Crayola.
But this great poster, Tommy Chong. And it's like he's reaching off for a joint. It's weird. I mean, maybe he's at a party or something. He's like in a car or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Up in Smoke starring Tommy Chong. It's a great – look for it on Hulu. It's a great movie.
Do you feel this way?
Oh, and also watch Costello Meets Frankenstein. That movie is so – funny.
When you're done with that, check out The Blues Brother with
Dan
Aykroyd.
Yeah, The Blues Brother. Oh, yeah. Yeah, The Adventures of Elwood Blues. That's a great movie.
I've always said this to Jimmy. When you go to do a show, and whenever you're in the dressing room, and you know this, Patton, of his show and of every other show, you walk into the dressing room, and it's a picture of Jimmy hugging Michelle Obama, then there's Oprah, and then there's Brad Pitt, and then there's Ellen, and all I do is sit there and go, boy, I know they wish they had any one of these people tonight instead of fucking me.
And then you go use the public bathroom, and there's your picture of him and you hanging out over the urinal, tacked up.
But it looks like he's hugging someone, but you don't know who it
right.
is.
So how would you guys feel about The Man Show starring Jimmy Kimmel, if that was your show? Would you be okay?
I don't know. The thing is, you set it up, though. You made it very clear that you kind of don't care where it pops up. So it's hard for me to get wound
I
up
don't
for
care.
You, then you
indignant
you,
on
yeah,
his
yeah,
behalf.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you've been going, I've been waiting for the Man Show to come. Like, but it's clear that someone else, and not even Jimmy Kimmel, a fan had to track this down and go, hey, by the way, you go, oh, what?
No, the saddest part about this entire equation is some bean counter said we can make another nickel if we just have the popular one on this thing.
Right.
No one's heard of Adam Carolla, but Jimmy Kimmel they've heard of. Like somebody made there was a calculated effort to make another dime. That's the sad part.
Yeah, but that happens all the time. That happens all the time.
All right, we're back with more Corolla Classics, and I must remind you that we do take listener requests, and Gio and I have been filtering through them and love all of the memories that you guys are sharing and want to hear again. Just if you want to submit a request, tweet us, DM us, whatever, follow Gio at Giovanni Giorgio, or me at Chris Loxamana on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, and or email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. We have an email address.
Should use it.
So you should use it. Now, here in Corolla Classics, we love including guest regulars, favorite guests, and Doug Benson is a Corolla
Hall of Famer. Yeah, he's been on the show at least over 20 times. He's definitely one of the top 25 guests in terms of number of appearances. He's always a fun guest to come on the show. This is a live episode, 883. This is from August 2012. This is with Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop. Adam basically starts out this live episode discussing the Olympics, and he was watching fencing, and he has a bunch of ideas on how to make fencing more entertaining, and that goes on for over 12 minutes.
Doug Benson, 2012, live show. Let's go.
Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on, and welcome to the show, Doug Benson, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Allison Rosen, y'all. And Bald Brian. I was doing Kevin and Bean this morning, and I was complaining. I hope you're all sitting down. And one of the things that I was complaining about was the Olympics and just how utterly disappointing fencing is. And I had a couple of thoughts. One is, you know, it's sad when I'd rather watch women swim than watch guys sword fight. It's a bad... I actually had this thought. I'd rather watch Mexicans putting up fencing than actual fencing. Like, I mean, it's more exciting. Like, oh, that's a nice dog-eared one by Cedars putting up there, one by six. Yeah, nice spread there. Yeah, should be using galvanized.
How would they grade excellent fencing?
Well,
Mexican fencing.
I think fencers should guard the border.
Yeah, it's a good
while
point.
You bring it up.
Yeah.
Why build a fence when you can just have guys standing there with a mask and a sword ready to go?
Plus, they're fairly uneducated, semi-simple, also superstitious people that are coming into the country. No, it's not a bunch of doctors and lawyers. So once you put a guy there dressed as Zorro, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not crossing that dude. I've seen that movie.
So you're saying the beekeeper mask might not be the
actual Zorro mask. The Zorro mask, cape and everything. You know what I mean? Or maybe...
They get one look at it. El Diablo Blanco.
Yeah, and they just head back. Yeah, they've all seen the movie. Not only that, I can save the taxpayers money already. We get a couple of actual guys in Zorro outfits and spread them out. The rest are just hollowed out fiberglass like they have those owls on top of the restaurant.
Zorro decoys.
Yeah, so the Mexicans don't shit on the sign. Or maybe it's seagulls. I don't know what the owls are for.
Get Madame Tussaud to make a bunch of them. They could be Antonio Banderas or whoever.
Put some big guns on them and just have them standing there, cape blowing in the wind, you know. No one's going to fuck with that guy.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, but I just thought, like, how many, if somebody just told you, okay, one of the sports in the Olympics is sword fighting, and then there's a whole bunch of other ones that involve, you know, throwing a disc and putting a shot and synchronized swimming, you'd be like, oh, give me the sword fighting any day. But there's probably 80 Olympic events I would rather watch than sword fighting. Somebody's yes. going to have to do something.
Why is it so boring? Because it is. First of all, they look like they're in self-defense classes.
Yes. Yeah, they all look like the guys getting kneed in the groin by the angry lesbians.
Are there?
Never again, they're yelling.
But that would be more entertaining.
That would be much more entertaining.
Are there
The swords have a safety tip on them, don't they?
They're head to tip.
Push it clear through the person.
Oh, those guys could be attacked by a full-grown female Kodiak bear and be completely fine. They're completely fine. They're head to toe.
Right.
They could go over Niagara Falls in a Kodiak bear and be, hand to God, I'm not making this up, and be, check the computer, and be completely fine with the amount of fucking protection they have. So first thing, obviously what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to add a cape or something, you know.
Something to
secondly,
suggest pageantry.
We got to get these guys in a Speedo. You know what I mean? I need to see some blood drawn.
Then we just watch them dance.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's the thing. We have judo and we have boxing. They don't put them in a football helmet when they box. They got a little leather headgear, but there's bloody noses and fat lips. You know what I mean? I want to see some fucking blood. Those guys are wearing a little tank top. By the way, I like the boxer who puts the tank top on and goes, this is way too confining. I need to put some medical tape around the back of the tank top to suck in. Really? That 3-inch little swatch of fabric? Too much for you to throw the right hook? I can't maneuver in a tank top? Because I feel like I can do a lot of shit in a tank top.
You do.
I never like get in a tank top and start throwing a left and go, ah, shit, I just got grabbed by that fucking
like wearing a straight
wisp
jacket.
Of cotton. Yeah, it's like, why they got to tape that thing up back there? I don't approve of that. Don't hold me back, shirt.
I've got fighting to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, why don't you invent a tank top that then works instead of having to wrap tape around the one that you actually use for the fighting? But I'm just saying, something's got to be done with this fencing. Yes.
Are there any of the fringe sports that you actually like in the Olympics? Like, obviously, basketball is big one, you know, gymnastics and all that, but any of the fringe sports you enjoy?
Well, I didn't know, like, I think there's BMX now.
There's three-legged race.
Really? It's really.
There's hot potato.
It's turned into a company
potato
picnic.
Sack.
Yes.
These guys are trying to pass an orange from one neck to the next neck, you know.
Did you see the eggs and the spoons? The Russians took it.
Oh, fuck. I had a TiVo tonight. Fucking spoiler alert.
Sorry,
man.
Happened 14 hours ago. I'm sorry.
Well, I fucking TiVo'd it.
Get this, though. They had slotted spoons, and they were disqualified.
Oh, man. And they brought a nice ambrosia salad to the games this year. Yeah, something's got to be done with the fencing. Either they got to get rid of the armor, or they need something that will defeat it. Like, they each get one battle axe. You know what I mean?
And
they can only use it once, but...
Like a video game.
It's got to count.
They could each have a special power.
Yeah, or maybe a couple of those just throwing stars. You know, just a couple. Just, you know, like three each. Something. Yeah. Something just to make it a little more exciting, because it's really the most boring part of the fucking games. And it's also, I don't have any respect. I don't know how you guys feel about yourselves, but here's how I feel about myself. I have no respect for any sport and or any endeavor I feel like I could have done if someone got to me early enough. You know what I mean? I have zero respect for it. And when I see a guy do the alley-oop and the monster windmill jam, I go, I can't do that. But when I see someone riding a horse or playing with the sword or, you know, shooting the pellet gun, Table tennis. Well, no, those guys.
If you played enough ping pong.
Yeah, but eventually those guys start. First off, they're the only people on the planet that still rock dolphin shorts. Somebody
said,
we cannot have socks that go above our ankles. we must be in dolphin shorts. And they're crazy Asians who hold the paddle weird, and they do. And by the way, I don't like playing ping pong with the people that put the English. I don't. Yeah, there you go.
Balls of fury.
Yeah. They don't have. I don't like any of the English on the ball.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like the guys who bowl and spin it. That's cheating to me, and I don't like any English on my ping pong.
I don't like the people who arrive with their own ping pong paddle in a little holder.
Oh, yeah.
Because it doesn't look tough. And you know they think it does when they unzip it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't feel like... Also, why does everything need a holder, you know? What happened? That pool cue's going to warp or get shoved up your ass in some sort of mishap? Like, if you're driving with your pool cue and it's out of its holder, it's going up your ass? Like,
that's what? Some sort of mishap.
Yeah. That's a mishap there, yeah.
For sure.
All right. So you guys are with me on the fencing thing. I want to see some blood. I want to see the mark of Zorro.
Have you ever known anyone who fenced? Because the people I've known who fenced were incredible nerds.
Everybody, I grew up in North Hollywood. Oh, no, nobody fenced. We hopped the fence so we could play Smear the Queer on the weekends, but that's as close to the fence as we ever got. Although, you know, it would be fun. You know, it would be nice. If you're just from some shitty country and it was clear you weren't going to meddle, you go out there. I'll come back to this, but one of the greatest moves in sports to this day is the minor league baseball player that brought a potato out with him, and he was a catcher, and he brought a potato, and he put the potato in his pocket, and when they threw the pitch to him, they had a guy on third base. He did a move where he caught the pitch, did that move where he was going to fire it to third base and see if he could pick the guy off, which is a real power move that catchers only pull out once or twice a season, threw it 25 feet over the head of the third baseman. Except for what no one knew is he was throwing a potato.
It was a potato. He still had the ball.
The scouting report
was ready at home plate.
The scouting report said this guy had a potato gun for an arm. And he threw the ball, and then he was holding the ball. And when the guy looked at the potato and started trotting in, he then tagged him with the ball. Thus, to me, making him a genius and a hero. But he then got suspended from like the Mud Hens and then fired or something like that. But the point is
we interview that guy on the podcast?
Yeah, we did. He called in.
Yes.
He called
in.
Yeah. The guy was a genius.
And then I asked him I was like, you know, how do you feel about potatoes these days? And then you were like, you don't have to answer that.
Well, I know.
Because we were doing serious journalism.
You don't got to answer that gotcha question.
No.
I didn't want to take him back to that place. You know, he's a promising major league prospect who was actually put out of the league by a russet potato, and I didn't want him to go there, you know. But back to that, it would be fun to have one fencer who knew he was basically, you know, eliminated from the medals and just out there, you know, participating. And, you know, if you're coming in 23rd place in fencing, you don't get a ton of ink. You know, you don't get on the front of SportsCenter. But here's how you do it. You go out there, you're head to toe with protection. You go out there with the prosthetic hand in the ketchup packet, and you do a quick, and then you just have the hand drop on the ground and blood just starts screaming. You know,
oh,
you do
good.
A Monty Python thing where you just start squirting blood. Just, ah! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! And just, that'd be the greatest moment in Olympic sports, right?
That would, yes.
That'd be awesome, right?
Yeah, especially if he insists on continuing to fence.
Yeah. That's right.
It's only a flesh wound.
I'm going to use my bad hand. That's right. That would make SportsCenter, right?
Yes.
And would we judge him? I mean, he'd probably get some sort of lucrative sword endorsement. Sword companies out there looking for a new face.
He would not be on the cover of Fencer's Quarterly.
Right.
Because they're very stuffy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
the people who are creative would be endorsing.
Yeah, but he definitely see him on Letterman that evening, right?
He also better hope he doesn't sustain any injuries in future fencing matches because there's a boy who cried wolf situation.
Like, you're right.
I've seen this trick before. Swipe.
Yeah, he actually. Yeah, is actually stabbing, and we think he's got the Steve Martin sword that goes in one thing with the hoop and then pokes out the other back, and he just bleeds out in the locker room while everyone's laughing. It's a very real scenario. Thank you for bringing that up. That's why I insisted that Brian be up on stage tonight.
I tuned in for fencing because I thought it was a competition about who could get rid of stolen goods the quickest.
Oh, yeah.
But it turns out that wasn't what it was.
Yeah.
If he'd stole prosthetic limbs,
yeah,
then he'd get rid of those.
Funny scene. Yeah, that would be like a lot of black guys selling stereo equipment, and that's something I could get behind. Yeah. Sorry, I had to make it racial.
All right, so far, Mexicans and black guys.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, I'll get
There's none here tonight, so we're good.
Yeah, this guy's.
Oh, shit. Somebody from Tustin.
Uh-oh. Look out. Is there no security at all in this place?
So Ask Men has released their annual survey.
Ask Men, I read it.
I know you have a lifetime subscription. Ask
what
Men.
What is it? What is
Ask Men. Ask
I just
Men.
Read a pretty hard-hitting article, Taint, Friend or Foe. It's pretty... It's 8 pages. Fucking informative. Shit, yeah. You guys get Ask Men?
Ask Men.
Oh, Ask Men.
Ask Men. It's a different magazine.
Different magazine. Okay.
So, here are some interesting facts about men. Mm. Men that were asked.
Oh, shit.
Men were asked,
yeah.
Do you think the kind of drink you order reflects your masculinity? 56% said yes. And then they were asked, what is the ultimate man's drink? And would you like to weigh in before I tell you what the men said?
Pussy juice. By the way.
No, that's
neat.
That's
is
not
the
on
way
here.
You drink your pussy.
What?
Neat.
Some people like it with a twist.
Yeah, I go neat with my pussy juice. Yes, that's the ultimate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the ultimate man drink is a pina colada. Mm-hmm.
That's also not on the list.
All right, we're back. More Corolla Classics here. And this next one is just a one-on-one interview with, we know him as Super Dave Osborne. Adam and Super Dave sat down in the podcast studio. Adam's a huge fan, obviously, of Albert Brooks. The whole Einstein family.
Yeah, he knows all about him. He knows about their brother and his agency, which at the time he'd already stopped working for, but he brings it up in this clip. He always brings it up. He loves Super Dave. He loves Curb Your Enthusiasm. He loved his expanded role. Dave also was early guest frequent on Jimmy Kimmel Live, so there's some connection to there as well. Another guest, unfortunately, passed away. We played a tribute on the Adam Carolla Show featuring a dirty joke he told. It was hilarious. This is a fun chance to share Adam and Dave sitting down early on the podcast, episode 218 from December 2009. They discuss his brothers, and there's a funny exchange about Albert Einstein.
You know what I liked about this interview, Gio, is you can hear the respect that Adam has for Super Dave.
And
it's really cool.
And Dave's very playful with Adam, which is interesting. It's a weird, instead of being like hilarious or chastising or in the moment, he's just messing with him a lot. It's fun.
Yes, and...
It used to go on all the time. I was visiting my older brother at Fort Ordon. I was a kid, and that's up in San Francisco area. And I walk into a store called the House of 1,000 Names, and they had 1,000 little green cups with every name and every derivation. Mm-hmm. Bob, Bobby, Robert, Rob O'Bring, Dick, they think. I walked in. I was there for 3 minutes, and my dad from the door said, "Come on, Tunic, we got to go." So he did a quick scan of the place, saw that's the only name they didn't have, and they chased us down the boardwalk. And I got it, too, as a kid, so it was a memorable thing.
Well, so Dad's got the comedy chops. You have two other brothers.
Yeah.
And
one of them has passed away, Charlie. He was a writer. Yeah, he was a writer.
Now, was he the half-brother?
Yes, he wrote books, great baseball books on Willie Mays, Fireside Book of Baseball, and he was a great writer for newspapers.
And then, so how does it work? Who was first?
My father, he was first. My father was married to Charlie's mother, and then my father married my mother and had the three of us.
And so Albert Brooks is...
Well, he changed his name because Albert Einstein is tough. When you say, ladies and gentlemen, Albert Einstein, he comes out.
Obviously, your dad, that was in, well, I'm trying to do the math. How old is Albert?
Albert's 62, I think.
Right. So people had heard of Albert Einstein at that at that point.
Of course they
have. Well, I'm just trying to do some
yeah,
math.
Yeah, they've also heard of Abe Lincoln.
Pardon me.
Like that. Yeah.
Trying to do a little math here. Yeah. Make sure the guy was a household name.
Oh, no, I know.
So your dad was obviously named Einstein.
He did not. Who knows?
Was he screwing around?
No. I thought he thought it was probably an honor. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a weird thing. It's kind of like your last name is Einstein.
What he could have done is given him a middle name of Albert. Uh-huh. And then give him a name of Biff or something.
Yeah, who wants to waste the I mean,
I know,
it's a waste of an Einstein to name the kid Tunic Einstein.
I know, it doesn't work.
So,
and I had to get rid of my name for Super Dave, too.
So he went with now your brother who runs Daily and Associates.
He's retired. Yeah.
All right. So now who's born? Who's the oldest?
Cliff's first. I'm in the middle, and Albert's third.
And Albert Stern.
Yeah.
And where's Albert live?
In LA.
I never see him around. Does he do stand up?
No, he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't do stand up anymore.
And is he making movies these days? I know he does some stuff, but
not right now. He hasn't made a movie in a while.
Is he cool? Is he fine? Is he doing well?
He's got a great family.
And he's just doesn't need the money, enjoys his family.
I don't know that. I guess so. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just chilling, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, but he does some things once in a while. He'll work once in a while.
And what about, got on to Curb Your Enthusiasm a few seasons ago, and it really seemed, at first you just popped up on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now, if memory serves, you would pop up, and a few episodes would go by and you'd pop up again, but you didn't become a regular team player like you did this last season.
Well, no, actually the last two or three years I've been more of a regular. I would do like 6 or 7 of the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the character started, Larry or I didn't know if we'd go more than the one episode that we did.
How far back do you go with Larry David?
I've known him a long time. I used to, I've known him for about 15 years.
Hey, who have you been wrong about, like, where you went, this guy's got no talent, and it turns out he's everywhere, beside Kimmel. Who have you been wrong about? Like, when you met Larry David 15 years ago, did you go, I don't see what the...
No. I mean, you look, everything you do, you have to have a lot of luck. Mm-hmm. Everything has to fall into place. When Seinfeld first went on the air, they wanted to cancel it. Everyone but one guy at NBC.
Right.
They wanted to cancel it. Like it is with a lot of shows. All in the Family was in the toilet.
Sure.
So if they hadn't gotten the break and moved with Friends and all of a sudden it exploded, Larry would be a comic right now.
A bald guy. I can't get over your dad dying on the dais.
I can't either.
Literally being at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. And he performed.
Killed.
Knocked it out of the park.
Sat down, goodbye.
Did they stop the show? Did they know what happened?
Well, when someone is face first on the dais,
they
usually stop it.
Yeah, unless it's Dean Martin.
Yeah.
I think we have some phone calls, Super Dave, by the way.
Nick, how do we get phone calls from a podcast? I don't understand that.
I don't either, and I still don't understand
what the I'm going to take them.
Stands for Nick.
All right, got a few more Corolla Classics clips for you guys. Chris and Gio here. And this next one, I'm really excited about. Diedrich Bader.
Adam Carolla
I miss
Show,
him.
353. Yeah, Diedrich Bader, people might best know from the Drew Carey Show, and he also does a lot of animated shows and voiceover. He's on with Dulcie Rogers, who I believe is his wife or his woman at the time, with Teresa Strasser and Brian Bishop. This is from June 2010. Adam Diedrich briefly reminisced about doing Buzz Lightyear of Star Command, a TV show that nobody remembers.
Well, you'd be surprised. First off, when I said I miss him, he is not dead. I know a lot of the guests that we've been playing for have passed. Diedrich Bader is still around. I just meant he hasn't been in the studio for a while. Now, you say not a lot of people remember Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. Well, Adam did, because he brought Sonny and Natalia into the studio when Diedrich came in.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so what happened was Diedrich was in. He brings Sonny and Natalia, who were big fans of the show, and he has Diedrich do his voice for them, and they freak out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they were smitten.
I've never heard
so
the story
before. So
that
was really cool. That was right before they went in studio to record the interview. It was right in our lobby, and I'll never forget it. It was really cool just seeing the amazement in Sonny and Natalia's faces.
See, that's why you listen to Corolla Classics. Get the stories you don't get on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Enjoy this clip of Diedrich Bader and Adam Carolla 2010.
Diedrich and I did the Buzz Lightyear syndicated cartoon, whatever, together about 10 years ago. Although you do those things piecemeal, so you don't really get to hang out in the same
Disney,
room a lot.
In Disney, you do it like everybody comes in by themselves, and it's kind of weird, disorienting sort of thing. But in Warner Brothers, you do it like you sit in a semicircle. You do it like
really?
Yeah, you do it like a radio play. It's really
Jeez,
fun.
Never
you should come do Batman Brave and the Bold.
I'd love to. No one asked
be
me.
Be a supervillain?
Yeah. Be a supervillain?
I'd love to. Sure.
Who do you want to be?
We can't just toss it out.
I just want to be.
Why not?
Make up one.
He may have some esoteric supervillain that James hasn't thought of yet.
That's true.
I want to be a guy who just complains from a reclined position.
Captain the Gilbert Gottfried of Batmobile.
Right. But the chair is done up like the Batmobile. Right, okay. Like I hit my universal remote, missiles come out, like wings that. Pop That's out, really but good, I never move.
No.
And it's nonstop complaining.
Yeah. It's a little more like Xavier, but really bitching a lot.
Yeah, that was Xavier was in X-Men. My experience from doing like the cartoon voiceover stuff whatever we did at Disney, it's like a lot of like me just going, "Hey Buzz, get in here! All right, can we try that again?
Yeah.
Hey Buzz, get in here!
Yeah.
All right, let's do 10 more for safety. Hey Buzz, get in here! Hey Buzz, get in! It's like exactly the fucking same. My mouth is like my throat is raw from doing it.
I know it's really bizarre.
I feel like you had to do.
Yeah, a million takes, yeah.
And if you've done a lot of voiceover stuff, but have you ever done The Family Guy?
No, I've never done The Family Guy.
Say yes, it'd be better for the story.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you know.
Oh, I know, yeah.
You know that when you do The Family Guy, you just fucking say the thing two times, and Seth MacFarlane's like, all right.
That's good.
Moving on. And you realize, wait a minute, it could be this easy. The Disney guy would go, well, he doesn't care. Right. I would argue he does care.
Right. He just knows what he wants.
When he's got he can move on.
This is the beauty of live theater. You only have to do one take, and that's a transition into Dulcie's play.
Got a couple more clips for you here on Corolla Classics. Now, for those who listened to the Adam Carolla Show this week, we had a possible caller of the year, which was Gary.
How did they not know that was his voice? Come on, man. I don't even work with Gary every day, and I know Gary's voice.
You know, we all thought that in the engineering booth.
I have a Gary calendar, and I know everything about Gary, and I'm the Gary fan club, but still.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. They work with him. They didn't know his voice.
I was so surprised. I was nervous. Actually, when the caller called, I thought we should change his first name
to
Patrick. Because at least if we call him Patrick, which is Gary's middle name,
yes, of course,
then it might not be as obvious. Because Gary's kind of a weird name already, especially this day and age. You don't really meet a ton of Garys.
You work with a guy named Gary who sounds exactly like that, who you talk to on the phone all the time.
I know, but they were none the wiser, and the prank worked out perfectly. For those who don't know, Gary called in as a listener asking for advice for a first-time father. And as Adam, Brian, and Gina proceeded to help him, legitimately,
they did like four laps. Like he had to show himself to reveal. Yeah. Like they just had no idea.
Gary walks in with his cell phone, revealing that it was him on the phone the entire time, announcing that he's having a kid. Now, everyone was reminded of another reveal, and that's Brian, Paul Brian, who just destroyed all of us and then brought us back to life. So here you go. Bob Bryan's epic brain tumor April Fool's Day prank.
Adam Carolla Show, 1791, from March 2016, Gina Grad and Brian Bishop.
All right, Brian. Health update from you.
Well, this has been an uplifting show. We had a funeral talk, and then we had the guy telling us we're all going to die, mm-hmm. essentially, in mm-hmm. the explosion. And health update. Usually these are, I come on and I say, hey, I had a scan, everything's great, blah, blah, blah. Rejoice and live for another 3 months. I made notes because I don't want to lose my place, and mm-hmm. I am a little bit nervous. I've been sitting on this information for a few weeks now. I didn't want to announce anything until I'm 100% sure. But Christy and I, we've had a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of scans, a lot of tests, and there is definitely a new growth. We knew this day was a possibility. We didn't really expect it, but we knew that it was definitely something that could happen. And the doctors are now telling us that it could be 5 or 6 months until we meet our new baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are you mother?
Christy's pregnant.
Wow.
Christy is pregnant. And we are overjoyed. And I'm sorry to lead you guys down that path, but
I'm so angry.
That's
you.
Good pod.
I'm angry too.
That's good pod.
You hear that, Gary? You don't just shout out the winner. You build. Wow.
Wow. I'm sorry to do that. I'm sorry.
Congratulations. I hate you.
I wanted to do something that was a little different, a little interesting.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Jerk. Creep.
I'm sorry, but I wanted to try and do something a little fun.
No, listen, I appreciate it. Because the first time Brian and I discussed this,
it'll be 7 years at the end of next month.
Wow.
At the end of next month, 5-6 months was sort of the over-under on Richard Paradise. Yeah, so...
Speaking of which, it is actually... Christy and I were talking about it because we... Everything, by the way, if any listener wants to go back and listen, everything I said was 100% true. We have been sitting on this for quite a few weeks. There have been many tests, as you can imagine. Christy's actually 16 months along. She's almost halfway done. She's showing a little bit, so you guys will see her at Matt's wedding and see her little belly.
I'll never say a word.
Is that why you're telling us? So there wasn't a gossip windmill?
Partially, but she also hadn't told her work, and it's a weird thing over there because she's an executive, mm-hmm. and it's an international company, and she wanted to tell the top first and then tell her team, and then so she wanted to kind of tell them all at the right time.
International. She could take 3 years off.
I wish. They don't give her the good stuff, but it is kind of nice, like we were talking about a second ago, to think that 7 years ago almost, we Christy and I had to tell the people that we love and the people that are close to us this devastating news that changed our lives forever and would probably change their lives. And now 7 years later, to be able to tell them life-changing news in a good way. This is a really exciting moment for us.
This was insemination with... Or how was this done? Sorry.
This was 100% natural.
Wow.
We dropped several tens of thousands of dollars on 2 rounds of IVF and several rounds of IUI, and then decided to take December off because holidays and drinking and traveling, and we host a big party every year, and it's like, you know what, let's just take the month off. We'll do another round maybe in the new year, and when the pressure's off, it's the cliche, when the pressure's off, that's when things happen, and we had recreational sex, and resulted in the baby.
You make it sound so hot.
As you can imagine, really nervous about, oh my God, I'm still on chemo or still on, Avastin and stuff. And so we did go through every single test we could possibly subject ourselves to, blood tests and ultrasounds and everything. And everything has come back just flying colors. Our baby is growing at a normal rate and looks great. And
September baby.
Or September. And due on my birthday. September 13th.
Oh my God.
So it's one of those kind of coincidences or whatever it is, the great magnet, but it's like, wow, this is very cool.
Could become an achievement day.
Could become an achievement day.
Well, I'd say you being around at that point 7.5 years in is an achievement day. Good. I still should point out that F Big Pharma and in Cuba, everyone has access to top-notch free health care.
Oh, let me finish.
We've got a long way to go,
Brian. We're moving to Cuba.
So. Oh, there you go.
So, adios, amigos.
All right. Congratulations. It really feels good. And I got the same thing, which is, Brian's got some health news, and when you started down that path,
I'm sorry.
All right.
I hope later on you can appreciate
such
it. I appreciate it a millisecond after it came out of your mouth because I was that relieved.
All right, we're back with one last Corolla Classics clip for you. Now, we alluded to this one earlier. Steven Brody Stevens, rest in peace, sir. He guest hosted the Corolla Show, which was kind of weird, because, and I'll tell you why. When Adam would have to go shoot a pilot or go out of town, we would have people guest host, and we've had Kevin Nealon do it, Aisha Tyler, Jerry Springer, and Brody Stevens. This one was interesting because nobody in the engineering room was really that familiar with Brody Stevens. So what happened was, we hear we're getting a guest host. He comes in and he brings in tambourines, like a drum with a snare on it. And right when we walked in, we all looked at each other going, uh-oh. We didn't know what we had gotten ourselves into. So what I love about this one, it is straight Adam Carolla Show, Adam Carolla Podcast lore. It was probably our most controversial episode we've ever released.
I think the shaman was right up there. Basically, anybody who played a tambourine or a bongo. Now, I think they need an explanation. So as a fan, I didn't really freak out about this. I was like, oh, this is weird. I mean, this person's never been on before. And he has a guest, Danielle Harris. She's never been on before. Does he know Danielle? Did he bring Danielle in, or did they pair them up? And I was like, why hasn't Danielle Harris ever been on the show again? Oh, that's why.
Yeah, this is us putting two things together that had really no business being together and just thinking that it would work. At the time, we were kind of worried about it because it was just so different, and our listeners actually went into our comment section. We had the Adam Carolla website, and they tore him a new one. They were tweeting him. He was getting destroyed on social media, and what was kind of funny was he would fight back. Became our most commented episode, became our most controversial episode, as I said, and really what it was Brody being himself. Yeah, Brody doing his comedy. He wasn't trying to cater to anybody. He
had no history of listening to the show, it seems. So he had nothing in his head to tell him how to do the show. So it actually comes off now in retrospect like an avant-garde art piece. Like he's Andy Kaufman or something. And that's very similar to how you have to listen to it. And I went back and I listened to him like, what can we play of this? I'm like, actually, we could play quite a bit. So I cut together a medley, which has him doing the intro. You get a little bit of the tambourine. Daniel Harris joins the studio. They talk about Hatchet 2, and there's this really interesting tidbit about the film being released theatrically unrated, which is a huge controversy based on the movie studios and the MPAA. There's a bunch of stuff that goes into that, and they really dig into it. And Brody's a really good interview. And then there's a little chunk from the Stitcher bonus content that most listeners have never heard, where he says some really kind things about being given the opportunity to be on the show, and pairing this with the earlier clip where you heard his honest feelings about the aftermath. I feel like it's a really interesting way to re-experience Stephen Brody Stevens and his history with the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. You will be missed, and I hope everybody enjoys this because it's like nothing you've ever heard, and it's brilliant.
Rest in peace, bro.
And now, the cop from The Hangover, Brody Stevens.
Yes! Feeling great to be here, listening to the mighty, mighty Boston's. My good friend Dickie always says hello to me when I hang out at Kimmel. He is my friend. He's from Boston, Massachusetts to the very end. He won't lose the accent like Richard Blade, hanging out in Adam Carolla's truck garage. Yes, I feel like getting an oil change in here. Thank you very much. My name is Stephen Brody Stevens, BrodyStevens.com, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Saturday nights, 3 a.m., webcam on. Yes! I'm known as the Tambourine Comedian. So let's talk. I am here hosting, guest hosting, the Adam Carolla Show. I already made a mistake putting out on my Twitter, I'm hosting, I'm guest hosting, the Adam Carolla Podcast. That's a mistake. I put it out. I could be in trouble. But Adam is out of town, and hopefully this is a point where you don't want to be followed. Hopefully he doesn't follow me. Luke Gregerson, great bullpen pitcher. I know you're on the road. You're a guy who skateboards to the ballpark from your downtown place. Let me stay there during Comic-Con. That is a possibility. Yes. I love this tambourine. The deal is, you can't do songs on certain shows. Like if you were to do stand up on Jimmy Kimmel Live or one of these shows, you'd have to get the songs cleared. Even Happy Birthday, you have to get cleared. But this, that is my song, and what will I do? I'll keep doing that. That's what I am. I'm the tambourine comedian. Dwayne from Long Island. I don't know a Dwayne from Long Island. I can't accept that call. I do not know. Is that Dwayne Perkins? Dwayne Perkins lived in New York. Dwayne from Long Island, 45, knew you when you were starting out in New York. Go ahead, Dwayne. Stephen Brody Stevens, BrodyStevens.com, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Saturday nights. New York, lived there. Brooklyn, 20 Bushwick, took the L train, third stop in. Tour guide, Radio City Music Hall. Barker, Comedy Cellar, no stage time. Respect to Greg Giraldo. Also, what else did I do? Some other things. Go ahead, Wayne. Dwayne.
I know you from Gotham Comedy Club. How were those times and those days go for you?
You knew me from the open mic in the afternoons there. That's pretty much the only time I performed at Gotham. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, I knew you there. There was a certain cast of characters. Many have dropped out, but I'm glad to see you're still in the game.
I'm still in the game. Paul Sullivan was the host. Remember that? I don't know if this is good or bad. Uh-huh. Now, I heard about it, so I'm going to say it's good.
Okay.
Something happened with the movie Hatchet 2.
Yes.
I'm going to tell us about it.
Basically, we were supposed to be the first genre film distributed at a large theater chain across the country, unrated and uncut.
Ooh, uncut.
And that hadn't happened in about 25 years. So it was a big, 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 big deal. And about Saturday night, maybe Sunday, someone decided to change that. And we were pulled from all of the theaters.
Can I say what theater?
Sure.
It was AMC?
Yeah, AMC, yeah. I don't really know why or how it happened, or I know there was going to be some sort of press release, but I saw it.
I saw it on Twitter. I follow AMC.
They announced it that they pulled it. Did they say why?
No, I don't follow AMC, but I did see it on Twitter. It might have been through like Hollywood Porter or something like that.
Right, right. So we had a shot, and then someone freaked out and just pulled it. I think I heard that there was like security guards outside of the doors and making sure kids were of age getting in. And
but it happens for all. Well, it is not. It is not rated, but maybe Pacific Theaters, maybe Kikorian, maybe Lemley, maybe the Arclight will step up and say, let's go. We're going to do it.
Let's support independent films.
I think the Arclight.
Arclight would be great.
Because, you know, there's only like a 3 or 4 of them. You keep it here in L.A. Right. AMC, it's way out there. You know, you're going to be out in the Inland Empire. They're freaking out. Who are they going to handle it out there?
Mm-hmm.
You got it in control. I'm going to make some calls.
Please do. That'd be awesome.
But I did see it. So that's going to, either way, it's going to get buzz for it. So Hatchet 1, was that a
movie? It was released. Yeah, it was released about 5 years ago. But it was, you know, Arclight and Sunset 5. It was a little bit of a smaller distribution. But it was rated. It was NC-17. So this was, we were trying something a little bit different this time.
So what's the difference of NC-17 and
stuff
not rated?
Stuff still has to be cut out to get that rating. Where this, the MPAA doesn't really have a say, I don't think, and the AMC was working with Dark Skies, who was really the distributor that was backing putting it out unrated, and sort of said, let's make this happen and see what happens. And it will open up this whole world to independent filmmakers that don't necessarily have the money to. I mean, I see so many movies that are rated R that are far more violent and graphic than our Hatchet 2. It's like campy, funny throwback to the 80s slasher. It's not.
So there's a lot of humor in it.
It's all humor.
Oh, good. I mean, I'm glad that is.
Oh, yeah. There's a scene where these two guys get cut in half by an 8-foot chainsaw.
That happens every
night.
And
like blood squirting everywhere.
And,
I'm not down there that way.
Hi, guys.
And like, you know, buckets of blood thrown on trees and just really funny, ridiculous.
There's the problem.
The tree.
You can't do that. You got to respect a tree. I don't know. Throwing blood on a tree. It's interesting. Maybe it's good for it.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know, like red wine or something.
Right, right. So we'll see what happens. I think that, you know, it's going to probably pop up on video on demand pretty soon because we're not in theaters anymore. So we're going to get it out quicker.
But who goes to movie theaters? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who's going to that stuff?
I mean,
who's seeing that Facebook movie?
I know. Well.
Okay. So is there nudity in this?
There's like 1 second of nudity.
Maybe you need a little more.
Literally 1 second.
And the violence you're saying you've seen
totally
R-rated?
Campy. Yeah.
Are their heads being chopped off?
Yeah, but it's like supposed to be funny.
You can only have like 2 or 3 heads chopped off.
Is that what it
movie.
Is?
Yeah. I've
They're going to show me the trailer.
If it's rated.
I'm looking at the trailer here. Aerie Scope. Is that Aerie Spears?
No, that's Adam Green's company.
Adam Green. 2007, Hatchet 2 trailer, Slasher. Did you get Slasher the soundtrack? That would have been good.
That would have been awesome.
All right. Critics hailed the next icon, the greatest. I'm seeing good stuff. This is freaking awesome. And the holy grail of slasher films. My name is Brody Stevens, BrodyStevens.com. Brody is me friend, Facebook, you know how to find me. Hey, I had a great time. Adam Carolla, the podcast, the show, the empire, ace man, he gets it. Good guy, man show, been there. People say, Brody, what do you want to do? I say Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla has a career that I would kind of say, yeah, I would take that. So I'm honored sitting in on the couch today. Hope to be back one day. Again, my name is Stephen Brody Stevens. Thank you. Good night. You got it.
All right, and that wraps it up for this week's Carolla Classics. Once again, we're releasing new episodes every Saturday, so you're getting Adam Carolla Show. Not Monday through Friday, but Monday through Saturday. We hope you enjoyed this edition. Now, please remember to let us know what you want to hear from Carolla Classics. Email us, classics at adamcarolla.com. Tweet Gio at Giovanni Giorgio or me at Chris Loxamana. Just get in touch with us. Let us know what you think of the show. Make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever app you're using. And but most of all, thank you. Thank you so much for letting us do this show, because it's because of you guys that we're able to do this and share the best moments of our favorite show. Right, Gio?
Absolutely. I only do this work so people can hear it. There's so many new listeners who haven't heard a lot of these moments, and there's people who have been listening to every episode, like me and yourself, who have heard them, and it's great to have them refreshed and brought back out. You're like, oh, that happened. I forgot about that. So keep supporting the show, and we'll keep doing it.
Thanks so much for listening.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.